You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Historically, yes, most of those cattle are going to be west of the Mississippi.
Colin Woodall is CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
What we have seen here over the past several years is a return of cattle feeding to the Midwest. When you look at several of the barns that have popped up throughout Illinois, Iowa in particular, there has been a resurgence of cattle feeding, and they need to be able to have a market, a competitive market, to be able to process those cattle. And unfortunately, Joslin was one of those go-to plants. So if you are feeding cattle in Jones County, Iowa right now, you are sure wondering about what your options are going to be. And if you have to start paying more freight, what does that mean for your bottom line? So this is truly a significant issue for a lot of NCBA's membership out there. And that's why we're not pleased with the decision. But again, it is really hard to throw rocks at Tyson when we know that that excess capacity is there. And there may be more plants that shut down here over the next several months if we can't grow the herd.
Well, farm credit conditions across the Central Plains continued to weaken in the second quarter, but strong cattle prices helped cushion losses for diversified operations. Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City economist Tyke Kreitman says crop-heavy farms remain under greater financial pressure than cattle-focused operations. Lenders reported farm income still below year-earlier levels, although the decline slowed as corn, soybean, and wheat prices improved. Cattle prices reached record highs, lifting incomes across much of the district. Smaller farms, a majority renter operation, showed greater weakness. About 45% of lenders said farms under 1,000 acres financially weaker than larger operations, while 60% reported weaker conditions for majority renters. Now, repayment stress remains manageable, with less than 10% of farm loan balances facing major or severe problems. Farmland also stayed firm. Ranch land values, though, rising more than 7% from the previous year. Panama Canal tightening vessel draft limits as El Nino raises water supply concerns, creating another potential logistics issue for ag exporters. Canal says maximum Neopanamax draft will fall to 48 feet and 47.5 feet in September as reservoir levels are managed. The restrictions come despite stronger traffic. Deep draft vessel transits totaled 10,623 from October through July. That's up 6% from the same period last fiscal year. Canal handles about 3% of global maritime trade and connects 180 trade routes. For ag, shallower drafts can force vessels to carry less cargo or require different routing, potentially raising freight costs for grain, feed ingredients, and other bulk commodities moving through the canal. And Vietnam's purchases of U.S. corn surged after the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council introduced a sustainability and traceability program aimed at giving overseas buyers more information about American production practices. Council says imports climbed from just over 5,000 metric tons in 2023 to 1.09 million tons 1 year later. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We had a report out here on Wednesday that definitely caught the attention of the market. You know, we've been talking a little bit about, hey, where might yields end up at? What might this look like moving forward? I mean, one big thing to note is that we have a new record for corn and soybean combined acreage.
Matt Bennett is a farmer and co-founder of AgMarket.net.
You know, a lot of this has to do with the fact that we continue to whittle down wheat acres here in the U.S. But you were at 183.5. I mean, that's just a huge number. We took corn acres up 1.4. We took bean acres up 1.4. You know, it's, as you can see here, you know, acreage has shifted around and certainly went towards the corn and soybean direction. But, you know, let's get into specifics here. As far as world corn supply and usage, not any big changes there. We whittled down any stocks a little bit for the marketing year. We're forecasting as far as USDA is concerned. But what it shows you, as I've talked about a lot, you know, is that we continue to use more corn than what we're growing. And so that's a conversation that's going to have to continue. You can't do that forever. And so we're not going to run out of corn in the world by all means, but stocks to use ratio continues to whittle lower. You know, all-time record demand for corn in the world. You look at the U.S. supply and demand, you know, the couple changes they made. One thing I've been talking about a lot lately is exports. We've been running vastly ahead of schedule on exports. The USDA coming into this report was suggesting 16% increase in corn exports this year, but we were running 25% ahead. And so as far as the 25-26 balance sheet, you can see here, you know, 75 million bushel increase for corn exports, which dropped the carryout down to 1945. Now, it's very important to note that last year we raised a 17 billion bushel crop, you know, and we still ended up, or it looks like we're going to end up sub 2 billion bushel. You come over here to the new crop side of things, and it did get a little bit interesting. Of course, they dropped the yield to 180.7, but they also raised acres. So acres go up 1.4, harvested acres up 1.2. In the end result, whenever you look, they keep demand basically 325 million bushels less for new crop than old. It's still due to a reduction in overall production from one year to the next. I would point out last year was around 17 billion, this year right at 16 billion. So about a billion bushel less production. And so the USDA is suggesting, hey, demand's going to have to back off. And a lot of times part of the reason why demand backs off is because you see what's some sort of a price correction. And so we definitely see a little bit better prices right now than what we saw a year ago. You know, could that continue? Absolutely. But it gets you the carry out, as you can see, 1.653 billion bushels, but more importantly, 10.1 stocks to use ratio. And so that is a tight stocks to use ratio. You've got to assume that if you get this thing below 10, I'll tell you what, the market could get super interesting. And so if we look at the corn yield, like how do we change from the previous year? As far as right now where we're at, USDA in August does not get in the field. It's satellite imagery along with other industry information that they put in there. But ultimately they said, hey, the Western Corn Belt definitely is not going to have the kind of year we had a year ago. Illinois down. Of course, Iowa up. Iowa at 216 would be an all-time record. There are some people that are feeling like Iowa is too low at 216. You know, a lot of people feel like Minnesota should have been a little bit higher. So there are some changing parts here. You know, an old crop corn is probably a good idea to be getting some of those bushels moved now if you can.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I guess I'd characterize our market as having two main demand periods.
Adam Stout with StoneX.
May and June, so like late spring, early summer. Weather warms up, everyone gets outside, we fire up our grills, we go grill some steaks. We've got holidays in there as well, from Memorial Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and then 4th of July. So we've kind of got a period there where the weather's nice and we've got some national holidays. Then we have a lull from like the 4th of July to Labor Day in early September. Then we've kind of got a static period through September and maybe the first part of October. And then our second main, you know, demand period of the year is the holidays. So Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, that's really where you see the middle meat demand. So that's prime rib season here in the U.S. So we've got a good demand season in May, June, and then another one in, call it, November, December. And right now we're just in the middle. So we're in a little bit of a lull. The cutout markets have come off their highs. We haven't really seen any, you know, pre-holiday buying or pre-holiday upswing to this point, but I don't think that we'd expect that for another 60 days anyway. Along, you know, your comments of consumers trading down, I think one thing that we have seen this summer, I saw a chart just recently that was just showing tenderloin prices. So think your highest value meat cut here in the U.S. Tenderloin markets have been more flat, and ground beef prices have been firm. I mean, we've had ground beef prices that have been record high. So I think there is some consumer trade down in the beef space specifically from the very high valued stuff to ground beef. Ground beef demand is still very good from what we see.
Yep.
So I do think that we've seen some of that this summer.
What about exports and China?
We have had an announcement back in May that the Chinese were going to relist some of our export facilities, and they got that going. And we are shipping some beef to China today, but it's in very, very small quantities. Several years ago, China had grown to become a top three beef market for us. They went from nothing in 2019 to a sizable export partner for us in 2024. I don't know that my years are exactly right there, but something like that. And then they shut us off for a couple of years, and now we're back, but it's in a very, very small way.
Ben Parks is with StoneX.
I mean, I think one of the things that really helps so many stages of the industry here is the variety of tools that we have. You know, I mean, we've got a feeder cattle contract. We've got a fat cattle contract. We've got corn and feed futures contracts that they can utilize to hedge. And so really kind of wherever they are throughout the supply chain, they've got an offering, right? They've got tools that have liquidity that provide them the opportunities to mitigate risk. And so I think that's probably the most important piece is just they've got the products.
And Stout adds,
yeah, we've got exchange traded products, the futures and options that Adam mentioned, obviously super popular. We've got a relatively new product in a government insurance program called LRP, or Livestock Risk Protection. So it's a government subsidized put option, for lack of a better description. But that has become extremely popular, especially with feeder cattle operators, stockers, cow-calf operators. Maybe not quite so much on the live cattle or the fed cattle side yet, but I think that's got the potential to grow.
And this is Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We are partially responsible, if not substantially responsible, for affordability in America.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert is chairman of the Congressional Joint Economic Committee.
When we go home and do a town hall or meetings, it's person after person after person after person wants more money from us. Maybe Congress is just basically representing the interests of the public. They don't care about the bankruptcy. They stress those things. It's technically governments don't go bankrupt, but basically what we're going to have to do to monetize this debt. I have, don't laugh at me, my wife and I are the same age. We have a four-year-old boy. He was here a couple of weeks ago, cute as can be, just turned four. For his fourth birthday, he wanted to go to work with daddy. We need 104% of his lifetime earnings. Every dime he will ever make in his life, plus another 4% just to pay for federal government pensions. Social Security, Medicare, military. 104%. This is what we've done to our kids. Now, part of it's because we have so few children and so many of us that are gray hairs. It's called baby boomers. It's just math. So trying to explain a simple concept. We do more borrowing and spending, but we also have this thing called leakage. That's where we've misdesigned programs and outsiders, businesses, insurance companies, bureaucracies have figured out how to bleed those programs because we screwed up on our design and haven't been willing to go back and turn around and fix them. We end up having to borrow more money because when we borrow more money, we push up interest rates. When we push up interest rates, we've just made everything less affordable. We've created this doom loop. And the only way to break it is to convince those markets we're not just going to keep borrowing like crazy. And then we have these charts, and I keep trying to explain this. There's this concept, it's a big word, interest fragility. Interest goes up, and it beats the ever-living crap out of us. So think about what's happened today. Today, I believe the 10-year bond closed 4.65, 6.7. So it's functionally the highest it's been, pretty close to the highest it's been in a year, and some of the highest it's been in many years. So let's play a game here. Let's assume that's, 60 basis points, 70 basis points higher than the average we were having before. And remember, you're going to keep having people say, well, the reason interest rates are up is the war in Iran. They were ticking up before that because the worldwide battle for capital. Other countries are also binging on debt. We have data centers, other things coming to market, binging on debt. We're all competing with each other because when you borrow money, you're borrowing from the world's pool of savings. So it could be, your savings account, your pension, a family in China. We all put our monies into our banks and savings institutions, investment institutions. That's what's referred to as the world's savings pool. This is Ray Dalio talks about this repeatedly. The problem is our need for the savings, or the need for the borrowing, is now starting to outstrip the world's excess capital. When that happens, interest rates go up. So when you take a look at what we're doing right now, let's just say it's only 60 basis points. And it's over the next 10 years, just that bond interest rate we've had recently, over the last couple of months, it's $2 trillion of additional interest over the 10 years. It's called interest fragility. Little bits of interest increases when you're basically borrowing $40 trillion. That little bit kicks us in the head. And that's how you start to head towards that interest death spiral.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The consecutive heat waves are creating a logistical nightmare as well, in the sense that the fluvial transport is coming to almost a halt, especially when we consider the Rhine and the Danube river levels.
Bertrand Osterle is Vice President of Clearing and Execution Sales with StoneX, says don't forget the heat wave.
When we look at the Rhine, one spot of the Rhine is only 23 centimeters deep. So if you put your wellies or your waders on, you can actually cross this mighty river. And when we look at the Danube, to the point that some 200 ships that were sunk during World War II by the Germans are actually visible. So I invite our listeners to either Google it or look at some videos on YouTube. It's quite an interesting view. So what does it mean for grains and oilseed? It means that from a logistical point of view, wheat, maize, rapeseed shipments via barges are coming to a halt. It's either suspended or the loads are lightened to the point that it's not economically viable, and it's creating an absolute nightmare in terms of logistics. Then on top of it, the successive heat waves have continued to have some yield and production impacts. I'll start with maize. We've discussed it at length over the past few weeks, but we're getting more information and it's getting worse. So, for example, in France, the crop conditions in maize are just 31% good to excellent. It's catastrophic. The production estimates are bad. They're 6.9 to 8.8 million tons compared to 13.7 last year. And when we look at the EU overall, the estimates are now 48 to 52 million tons. When we started the season, in a range of 59 to 63 million tons. So we've lost a lot of that production potential because of those consecutive heat waves. The direct consequence is an expectation of higher imports, and we're talking 24 to 25 million tons of maize imports required by EU now. Similarly in wheat, we've seen over the past 2-3 weeks a continued cut of those production estimates. So if we look at the EU overall, we've lost 2 to 4 million tons of production estimates over the past 2-3 weeks, with the range currently in 124 to 127 million tons for soft wheat. When we look at France specifically, we're talking below 32 million tons. This morning we had the German cooperative mentioning just over 19 million tons of wheat in Germany, compared to 22.6 last year. So again, it shows that we've lost in production. And then when we look at rapeseed as well, the rapeseed yields could also be affected while some of that harvest still goes on. And one thing I forgot to mention on the wheat side, when we look at the exports so far, the exports are very slow. We're only exporting 1 million tons so far compared to about 2.4 million tons at the same time last year, simply because farmers are not certain of how much they are harvesting just yet, or they know that it's a lower crop and they don't want to sell because they expect higher prices. Moreover, if we look or turn to the UK, we've had some very alarming data as well. The UK has had its worst cereal crop since 1984, so since record began. And also we had a harvest that was the quickest and the fastest and the earliest since record began in 2006. And to the point where some agricultural bodies or some consumer bodies are saying that it could be having a massive impact on food inflation and potentially food shortages in the UK.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
You know, it certainly means that the two sectors do face different kinds of risks in terms of cash flow and financial position. Maybe the crop sector obviously is facing a bigger challenge than the livestock sector, than the cattle sector specifically, but they still face a common set of risks.
Brad Lubin is the director of the North Central Extension Risk Management Education Center with the University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
Think about how they manage market price risk, or how they handle production cost risk, or how they handle financial, legal, and human risks. They still have to manage those things, and it's a fairly consistent question between the two.
So what about the livestock sector?
Cattle producers have been enjoying almost continual record price after record price up to the last several weeks here. But even there, they're faced with, I'm generating record returns in a cow-calf operation. That implies that there are signals to tell me to grow that operation and to build for the future. Well, building for the future is also expensive. Those same record prices that we're receiving for this year's calf crop are the same record prices we're paying for replacements to build the herd into the future. We're also managing production risk because we're coming off of drought and extended drought concerns, as well as wildfire losses. And for as much as we might want to invest in a growing cattle herd, we also have to match that up with our grazing resources, whether it's the grassland capacity or whether it's the feedstuffs that we might supplement with. But we got to manage production potential and risk along with long-run economic decisions. The top of the cattle cycle, at least in terms of prices, is a tough time to figure out the economics of buying a replacement heifer that hopefully is going to give you a calf over the next 10 years, which are not all going to be at the top of that cattle price cycle. And so trying to make long-run investments given short-run price signals is also part of the challenge of managing through this risk.
But what about direct marketing as opposed to marketing through futures and options?
If I'm in traditional commodity production agriculture, corn, soybeans, wheat, sorghum, cattle, hogs, etc., I'm worried about price competitiveness, and I'm worried about productivity. I'm worried about whether I can achieve profitability at the markets that I see available to me. But I at least have the privilege of producing a commodity that is easily marketed and merchandisable. Just as soon as I think about, there's got to be better economic opportunities. If only I can add value, if only I can go into the direct marketing arena and sort of manage more of the marketing chain. Well, there may well be more value in there for traits that you can add, or for a legacy that you can brand on that product and deliver to the consumer. But it also means now you're about more than production. You're now into merchandising. You're now into customer relations. If you want to build an operation that faces consumers, you also face an awful lot of visitor customer traffic and liability and regulatory issues of running a storefront. And so suddenly the business gets a lot more complex than just producing a commodity and selling it to the local merchant. And while that might be a great opportunity, it might be a great entry point for some beginning farmers and ranchers, it might be a great value-added opportunity, particularly in a time when we're concerned about narrow price margins for traditional commodity production, it brings its own inherent risks and challenges that demand the attention of the producer as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operation safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.